Blog Talk Radio.
The show with Kate Smith. I'd like to welcome everybody to another edition of Sports Tonight, brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters. When you want to purchase a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country, give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. Any Abbey courses, St. Louis University, give Tom Fogelberg a call, 352-588-2016. Like to walk in the program and lent to legend, Mr. Roger Hendler. Roger, I got a funny story for you. What happened last weekend? Well, you know, our boy Mike Socha from Springfield, manager of the Angels,
one of your
right?
best friends. One of your best friends.
I walked in the clubhouse, and I said, "Well," I said, "a buddy of mine." So I give him hockey stuff every year. What do we have down here? WAWA, right? Wawa. So I walked in there. And I gave him a Wawa coffee mug, you know, and he says, he opens it, Wawa, oh, my God, it's Wawa, I can't believe it, thank you, Tommy. and a footnote to this story, Tim Meade, who does a great job at public relations for the Angels up there, he says, Tommy, could you bring me in a hoagie? I said, Tim, by the time I bring your hoagie, it'll be all soggy, now why not bring in soft pretzels, right? So I brought soft pretzels to him up in the press box. He said, Tommy, it's the nice thing anybody's ever done for me on the road. I said, Tim, when you're here next year, let's go to Wawa for lunch.
There you go. I think I told you a couple of years ago at the link, the Eagles were playing the Dolphins, and Friday night the Falcons play the Dolphins. And, you know, Harvey Greens, the vice president of communications for the Dolphins. He is a good man with the Yankees. And on a Sunday I was talking to him and at the link, and he was telling me, he says, nobody would go with me last night to Pat or Geno's to get a cheesesteak.
Get
so
out.
When I see him, I always said, well, next time you're in Philly, you got to get over there. So But, you know, he went to Penn and grew up in New York, but he, you know, he graduated from the University of Pennsylvania. So he's a Philadelphian at heart, if nothing else.
Like to walk
you certainly
got to
be familiar. Familiar with it, but Pat's a Geno. No question. If he went to Penn, he's got to be just know what's
and,
going on there.
And also, Don at Pagano's, and also, what was the place that was like the hole in the wall? They had that Broadway show about it. That was a well-known place at Penn.
Oh, Smokey Joe's? That can't be
Smokey
Joe's. Smokey
Joe's. That's it.
No,
Smokey
really?
Joe's.
Thought...
Yeah.
Oh, because we used
Pagano's
to park the car for the plush.
Pagano's
down.
Is
like
gone,
walk...
Roger.
What, the,
oh, no.
What was that, Frank?
I said Pagano's is gone.
Oh.
No, I heard that they're gone at where they were, but I heard that they're like at 40th Street.
Oh.
I can't add to that. I don't know where they are.
I don't know for sure, but that's what somebody had said.
Like to welcome to the program, Philadelphia legend, Mr. Don Henderson. Don, how is the lovely wife doing? Hope she had a very joyous and happy birthday.
Yeah, everybody's doing fine, and she told me she's a year younger. I don't know how that works, but that's what she said.
You're younger? Oh, my God. Last
Every year
week
she said when you have a birthday, you're a year younger.
That's right. And it
oh
stops at 39, right, Don?
Yeah. Stops at 39. When you get there, you stop on the way up, and then you start again on the way down.
Oh, no. But, Don, how's the weather down at Sherdone?
Oh, man, it's been absolutely sensational. I got a few of the grandkids here today, and Lane's taking care of everybody, and I'm here doing the show. And the weather outside is about 82 degrees and not a cloud in the sky.
Oh,
the ocean temperature is about 71.
Oh,
beautiful.
Wow.
Is Adam there, Don?
No, he is not here. No.
We could get Adam on and talk about the big game against Noshan Marino.
Yeah.
Sure,
no.
Get him on.
He's coming he's coming in Friday because it's my daughter's 30th wedding anniversary. So I'm having a big party for her on Saturday, so he'll be here Saturday morning.
Oh,
that's
God.
Great! Congratulations to Ken
yes.
Ahead. That's
why yeah. all the best for your lovely daughter. That's fantastic up there, Art. But Don, I tell you, what a week at a trade deadline for baseball. They're still complaining down here about the David Price trade. I talked to Rick Vaughn. I said, Rick, that's a great trade. He says, Tommy, how do you figure that? Well, you traded David Price's salary for a year. You picked up Nick Franklin, I should believe, is going to be a great major league ball player. And Smiley pitched last night, unfortunately lost. But look how much money you're saving right now for that. He says, he looked at me for a minute. Tommy, you got a great point. Look how much money you're saving. You still got two nucleus of this team left. And
I don't know if I can go along with that. I think that, if you're going to make a run for anything, I saw Price pitch last night against the Yankees, and he was down 3-1, and the Tigers came up with a couple one-run innings and took it into the extra innings. They lost. The Tigers won in the 12th inning. He wasn't involved in the decision, but he threw, if I'm not mistaken, 112 pitches last night. They said that he averaged 111 while he was with the Rays, and he threw 112, I think, last night, and he pitched into the ninth inning. I think it was either one out or two outs in the ninth inning.
Hey, gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the program. A good friend of mine does a great job in the Rays Radio Network. I always see him at every game. I always try to cheer him up when I come late from the work or the office. I'd like to welcome Chris Miller. Chris, welcome to the program, sir. Great victory today for us.
Hey, brother. Good. How are you guys doing today?
Good. So, how are you, Chris?
Excellent. So I was just listening in through Skype. What's the topic today?
Maybe
NFL?
Well, I think most of the topic is going to be before we get to the NFL. As Tommy said, the trading deadline and all the moves that were made by all the clubs, and of course everybody's giving rave reviews to the Red Sox for what they did.
Oh,
yeah. Tampa Bay has not gotten rave reviews for what they did, and the Phillies, of course, did nothing. So.
Ruben Amaro yesterday, he must know he's on his way out because he said they won't be competitive for the next 2 years, next year and the following year. And I think when a general manager makes that statement, then he must know he's a goner.
Oh, yeah. No, don't say that. But, Chris, I think I got a great – I still predict and I'm still thinking this race team's going to make the playoffs. I got a gut feeling in my gut and my heart says this team's going to make it with a great victory 7-3 over Oakland today.
Whoa. That's
well,
great.
Your heart, I wouldn't want to bet on your heart.
It's still ticking, Don. It's still ticking. That's amazing.
What time Friday night is the Storm play?
No.
hey,
we're
that,
playing,
Coach?
Trust me.
Coach, go ahead and tell him off, Coach.
Hey, I'd like to walk Mr. Lawrence Samuels, coach at our Tampa Bay Storm. Lawrence, welcome to the program, sir. I know I talked to Frank last night. When is a good time for us to tee it up? You let us know.
Yep. All right. It's on your schedule, not ours.
Okay.
Hey, Lawrence, I got a press release today from the Soul. And, you know, we've talked about this with you, players going to the NFL, and I sent it out to Tommy, Frank, and Don.
Thank you.
I thought it was very interesting. The Cowboys signed one of the Soul players today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, it shows you know, that there's such an opportunity if you produce, in the AFL.
That's right. It's quite a few guys in our league have signed recently with NFL, and a lot of them are signed with the Canadian Football League. So, if they do what they're supposed to do on our level, they'll definitely get a shot at the next level.
Lawrence, as optimistic as you were and as enthusiastic as you were during the entire season, even during that little losing streak about just before midpoint, and I know you really had in your heart of hearts an idea that you were going to win one of those two Cleveland games to at least get you into the first round.
Right. I heard the comment. I wish we were playing on Friday, but, this weekend, but,
If you get a chance, Lawrence, tell Tommy that you're not playing.
we're not playing.
I wish we were playing. That's for sure.
I really wish we were playing because it's a little disappointing. Just looking at the teams that are left in the playoffs, and we played well against the ones that are in,
mm-hmm.
and I think that. It kind of panned out just like I thought it would, with Cleveland playing kind of tight the first week of the playoffs. With those guys, being their first time, a lot of those guys are first time players playing in the playoffs.
Wow.
With the Cleveland team, it would have been a perfect opportunity for us to go up there and get an upset win. Philly almost done it. Almost did it, and it just goes to show that the parity in this league is right on pass. It doesn't matter what the records are at the end of the year. Anybody can win, and right now anybody can win it all. So with the four remaining teams, I'm looking for an exciting playoff run for somebody, one of those teams.
What is your prognostication?
I really would like to see a team on our side win it, like a Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be tough for them this week against Orlando. Orlando's got some weapons. Mars is playing well, and they got some big, tall receivers. So it's really going to be tough for them to match up problems. So they're going to have to score more than 30-something points. And it's going to be really tough for them. But if anybody can do it, they've had the best defensive group all year. And if anybody can do it, they can. And then on the other side, it's a toss-up. It's whatever team shows up. Arizona beat San Jose twice. And then if you look at it, San Jose blew out Arizona the last time.
Mm.
So with that said, any one of those teams can actually win the ball game. So I'm looking for a great ball game on that side also.
Mm. Well, Lawrence, I got a pull for Cleveland. If they keep winning, it'll be the first championship since the old MISL, the Cleveland Crunch, will be the first football champion since 1964, when the Browns defeated Baltimore 27-0. So, are those four teams? I can't stand Orlando, the city, or anything. I can't stand it over there. So I got to pull for the Cleveland team to go all the way this year. That's what I'm pulling for. And next year it's going to be us.
Yeah, I'm right along with you. I'm pulling for Cleveland to go all the way. I think it'll be great for their franchise. They've had some tough years throughout, and this is I'm hoping that this is their year. They've had a wonderful year. They're very well coached, and they've done a good job up in Cleveland. And I'm kind of pulling for them too.
Well, I am too. I was at the Rays game, and you know, the press box of some journalist from Orlando. He said he had the game on, and I was telling Ben the other day in the office. Says Ben, the guy who won that game, he played at Ohio State, so he know the kicker, know the pressure of making that field goal was making the big pressure up there. So it's. And I got him on after postgame. I got him on there. What about winning the championship, first time winning a championship at home since the Browns? And his eyes lit up. Says, "Wow!" So I got some good karma for those guys up there in Cleveland up there and that. So I mean, it's a. But Lawrence, I still got my Tampa Bay shirt on. I always wear it proudly and that. And I'm, and I love you guys tremendously. I'm a big believer in the Storm. What have you done this year? And what Derek and Jeff and Chris done for your Storm this year? It's, you know, it's a great year, and I think you should be Coach of the Year. The job you've done was terrific.
Well, I really appreciate it, but I'm actually gonna, you know, I'm actually rooting for the coach in Cleveland on that too. He's had some tough years. He's built a program up there to actually be successful this year, and I'm really rooting for him to be Coach of the Year this year.
Wow.
Lawrence, I know it's, so you just finished up the season. What is your idea of how many people would possibly come back? Are you going to be starting from a great level when you start the season next year? Do you have a lot of optimism? Everybody's going to give it a good shot?
Well, we did our exit interviews with the guys, and they seem pretty positive. A lot of guys are looking to return. You know, we still have to battle free agency, but I'm almost finished with my yearly report of player evaluations, and we're gonna get better. We're gonna find some things that we did well, and we're gonna keep those things and keep those guys, and then we're gonna find where the holes were, and we're gonna find a way to close it up, and you know, be able to get into the tournament at this time and play this at the time of the year.
Right. Well, sure, we're gonna. Well, Lawrence, I missed the preview. For previewing, you know, talking on Wednesday for the Storm website, I also missed the DBs going, woo!
Yeah, I knew you missed that, and I'll be sure to get you out there the first time we group up and the DBs get together, so you can join in, Tommy.
Oh, thank you, Lauren. I just love doing it. James Harold, I had a good rapport, and everybody had a good rapport up there. Now we have a great group of guys, Lawrence, and. Boy, you know, watching Cleveland fell off, it just broke my heart. It just broke my heart. But it's just going to be ordinary next year. We were there at the very end, Lawrence. We had our own destinies right there. And next year, it's going to be our year to, you know, learn from this year as a learning year. Next year, 17-1, host every playoff game at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. What do you think about that?
I love it. And, you know, it's a little disappointing not playing at this time, but if you look at it, every game that we played had some significance to it. You know, it was a meaningful game, and you know, to play 18 games and every game meant something, and just to come up a little bit short, you know, I'm happy that you know, for our guys, and you know, we're gonna bounce back and we're gonna regroup, and like I said before, we're gonna come back and we're gonna be stronger than ever next year.
Oh, I just can't wait for it up there. And I like to see some of our guys make it to the next level, the CFL, maybe make it to the NFL. That'd be my thoughts and my prayers. Everybody could get that chance to make their goals.
That's right. And you know, we're rooting for a lot of our guys. We have some talent on our team, and the CFL and the NFL has been targeting them. So, you know, hopefully one of our guys will soon get a shot.
I think they will. I mean, with your leadership and all the leadership of the Storm up there and that, and then the year Randy had, Joe Hills, the Murray Jackson, list goes on and on. I mean, that's a great core of players to build from.
Yeah, and I expect them to, just try to keep the foundation of our team and keep building. And that's the key at this point in the year, is to keep the foundation of the team, and then we'll move on through the free agency period. And if we keep the core of our team, I think we'll be very successful next year.
Yeah, that's exactly why I asked you the question as to whether or not you're going to be able to do that, because it is very, very important to have that core group come back and you just build from there.
That's right. And that's our main priority at this time of the year.
Yes. Lawrence, Frank and I, at your convenience, let us know when it's a good time to go tee it up. I snuck out yesterday, one of our sponsor courses, the Groves up there, is an executive golf course, and hitting the ball well. One hole was such a dog leg, hit the best drive of the round up there and put it on the green. So, golf game has not messed a step up there. So, but at any time, yes.
When you get to be 65, instead of retiring, I guess you'll just go to work.
Yeah. I took my phone with me to work. Lawrence, thank you so much for your time. We'll get a hold of you next week for some golf or just coming on the show. Talk in general. You're always welcome, and you're a big asset to this program. We can't thank you enough for coming on every week, Lawrence.
Oh, no problem, guys. And thank you.
Yeah. Yes,
have a great
thank you
off
very,
season,
very much.
Coach.
I could not reiterate what Tom said better. You were great with us all year, and couldn't have been a nicer period within the show to have you on. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Lawrence.
All right. Thank you,
thank
guys.
You,
appreciate it.
I appreciate
much.
It.
All right.
Terrific guy.
Yes, he is. Well, guys, we're going to turn it to our minds on baseball. I'd like to walk with a good friend of mine. Does a great job, the official scorer of the Tampa Bay Rays and Eckerd College baseball coach, Mr. Bill Matthews. Bill, it's our segment. Let's go for it. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thanks, Tommy. How you doing, guys? It's good to be back.
Good, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
A lot of
things,
Bill.
We were talking a little baseball before, and the Phillies had that 15-inning game last night. I think what's interesting is look how many times we see a young pitcher come into the big leagues, and it takes them forever to get the first win. The Phillies brought this kid up, and then they sent him back down. He pitches one inning and picks up a win.
And gets a win,
You feel sorry for the guys that pitch a long time, and takes them a long time to get that first win. This kid gets it right from the outset. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah, and I had a game last homestand. Actually, I'm blanking on who it was, but it was a 5-run deficit, and the guy came in and faced one batter through three pitches, ended the game, and still got the save.
I think I remember that.
It's one of those anomalies in baseball where, because the bases are loaded, you got the guy at the plate, you got the guy on deck, that makes it, he's got the potential to tie the game, so it becomes a save situation. And he threw three pitches and got the save. So there's the opposite end of that spectrum.
It's amazing.
I think they've got to change that save rule. I mean, I think that's just the thing to give you numbers. That makes no sense to me. You come in and the guy on deck is a tying run and you get a save. I mean,
just giving the benefit of the doubt to the pitcher. That's, the whole rule book is based on that. So
right. They'd
have to change a lot of rules in order to change that. And then you got Oakland yesterday. They win 3-0 over the Rays, and they leave 18 guys on base in a 3-0 victory.
Oh.
How do you do that?
That's amazing.
Almost impossible.
That's totally
and they didn't even hit the ninth. They only hit eight times and left 18 guys on base.
Well, it was a good win for the boys today, 7-3. And like I said before, Bill, I was in the press box. You never say die. The Fat Lady is not going to sing to this baseball team. It's August baseball. We're 5 back out of the wild card. Now, the toughest part of the road trip's over. Now we go to Chicago and then Texas. So anything can happen. You had to get one of those three games to Oakland. Now you're on a good flight going to Chicago and sweep the Cubbies, I think, this weekend.
Well, everybody's, all bent out of shape about losing Price. And sure, he's a great arm and all. But you know, he only throws once every 5 days. There's four guys in between his starts. So all you got to do is have one guy step up and pick up a consistent W. And the fact that they lose Price, sure, he's dominant. Sure, he can go nine innings. Sure, he throws hard. Sure, he's left-handed. But all you need is one of those four guys in between to step up, and that's a difference maker.
Did you like the trade, Bill? Did you think the Rays got a good return?
You know, I love Nick Franklin. I recruited Nick Franklin, not very successfully, because he had bigger numbers on his table than what I was offering him. He's a pretty darn good player, and he has been since high school. I think that Smiley is going to be a great addition. He's a pitcher. He's going to go out there and he's going to pitch. He's not going to try to do more than he's capable of. He's a very intelligent guy. And I think Adames is an absolute diamond in the rough. He's the kind of kid that, you know, he's kind of a, you look at him like kind of the country bumpkin who comes from nowhere, and before you know it, he's hitting 20, 22 home runs a year and putting up 65 to 85 RBIs, and, you know, and then he's in the big leagues. So I think I think he's kind of a more refined Will Myers at the same age.
Well, you have to say one thing from a, you know, an administrative standpoint, the Rays have made some great trades over the last 5 or 6 years while they've maintained this real run to not only be in the playoffs but to win the East. But at the same time, you know, you're really not too familiar with the players that you're talking about as far as their skill level is concerned. And Detroit only needed one thing. They needed a guy that could take them into the playoffs and hopefully win the World Series for them. So it could be a good trade for both sides. Just that you're not gonna find out the first 2 weeks of the trade.
That's right. And I think, you know, the thing that dictates – the Rays are a good example of what Major League Baseball is about right now. Mm-hmm. It's a business. It's about backloaded contracts. It's about what are we going to do when we get to the year before the end of the contract. Because if we move into the last year of the contract, now we're committed to the back-end load money. We can't do that, so we're going to have to get rid of, you know, it's purely business decisions. It's got nothing to do with where we are in the standings, five games out of the wild card, the second wild card spot. Nothing to do with that at all. It's purely about can we afford to keep this guy? And sadly, that's where baseball is now. That's where they started revenue sharing.
Roger, tell Bill how the Phillies are able to do that, how Ruben Amaro has set up that back end.
Well, I'll tell you, there was an interesting article in the Philadelphia Daily News today just about what you were alluding to, Bill, and it was projecting the Phillies for next year. Now, Ruben has already said they don't expect them to compete next year or the following year. That's not the way you sell tickets and keep season ticket holders. But the point that the David Murphy was making in his column, or at least what I understood, it's very difficult today with the draft, with free agency, because the teams are going to sign up the upcoming free agents and keep them on their team. That's number one. But where you have the opportunity is with the international players. And, and I think that's why you see more Japanese, some Korean. And, of course, they have this outfielder from Cuba who they say is a step below Puig. And I guess the Phillies, Yankees, Red Sox, and a couple of others are in the game to get his services. And he's like, I think, 24, 25 years old. But they say he can come in and play center field for a major league team right now. And I'd like to have your feelings about this international situation with the signing of these free agent players.
I think it's an interesting avenue to explore because you're going to be able to get these guys for, I don't want to say a bargain basement price, but you're going to be able to get them at a discounted price as opposed to signing an American player because these guys are more apt to say yes, more apt to take a chance, less apt to have a Scott Boras-type agent. I think they bring more to the table because they're playing more baseball than American prospects are playing. I think their aptitude for the game is better than most American players. You know, American players are now in a position where, you know, they're playing 150 games a year, but they're never practicing. So all they're doing is playing game after game after game after game, whereas the guys in the islands, they may go out and practice for 8 hours a day and only play on Saturdays for a doubleheader.
Hmm.
So I think the refinement of the skills, I think the ability to get them to sign for a lower price, and I think the absence of the high-powered agent makes it a very lucrative market.
That's a great point. Bill, question of the day. Where is Astro? Astro down here in the Tampa Bay area, or is up in Detroit? That's the question of the day. I'll ask David when he comes in.
I don't think David's going to leave without Astro. You know, he ran a great full page ad in the St. Pete Times day before yesterday. And, I mean, it was great. He thanked everybody, to clubhouse guys. I mean, just everybody. And he was holding Astro in the picture. I don't think he's going to leave him behind.
Oh, that's great.
I have to ask David. I said, David, how's Astro adjusting to the Motor City? He can't have his nice, you know, he can't probably jump in a pool. He have to jump in probably, you know, he have to probably Detroit River or something like to get a swimming in for the day.
He may bounce off if he tries to jump in the Detroit River.
I'll tell you, you think about the Phillies all these years, and we've been covering the Phillies, and especially over the last 10 years. Did you realize they are now out of 15 teams? They're at number 13 in attendance. 13.
Oh,
wow.
It's like a motor sellout. Like,
you know, Roger, talking about the Phillies last week, we talked about a certain player having sold his house up in Montgomery County for $2.9 million. In fact, he's going to go to the settlement on it in 10 days. He bought a $5.9 million, 17,000 square foot house on the beach here in Clearwater. Not only does it have 10 bedrooms, it's got like 15 bathrooms. It's got two laundries, three kitchens.
This is a Jeter type house.
This is actually, Don, his house is going to be bigger than Jeter's. Jeter's
wow.
If Jeter gets up out of bed to go to the bathroom, he changes two zip codes. This guy's got
that's amazing.
Jeter's house is bigger than the Ritz-Carlton.
Yep. Oh, jeez. Yep. But no, I think I know who the player you're talking about, Frank. I think is it Mr. Jimmy Rollins?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Could
well, you know, Frank, when he sold his house, you said, in Montgomery County, but doesn't he have a place like in Center City, a condo?
Yeah, he's got. He just sold the house because they're
he
finishing
sold
up this house.
Yeah, because you figure that's where he's going to settle when he retires.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like 9 minutes from the stadium, from Clear Bright House Field.
Wow.
Where's Ryan Howard? He's
Indian Shores, I believe, guys. Indian Shores,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
So
he's building another big one.
I think he's been in Alaska most of this season.
That's what I was asking. Where is Ryan Howard? I meant in the lineup, not where does he live. I haven't heard anything about him this year.
He won the game last night, and he's looking good tonight. So I guess we got to give him a break for a couple of days at least.
Yeah, he usually gets on the bus after the game with Ruben, and they go back to Howard.
Yeah, right.
Not having cheesesteaks, discussing other things probably. Hey, Bill, I got to tell you.
How about the Red Sox fire sale? What do you think, Dan?
Oh, my God. That's unreal.
Do you think they'll get Lester back, Bill?
You know, that's what they're talking about. You know, they may want him back. I don't know if Lester's going to want to come back, honestly.
I don't think he's going back to Boston. I think he's got a couple other teams, maybe as many as three, that are going to be in the pool. I don't think he has any real interest in going back to Boston. He said that, I think, when he left, but I don't think that's the case. I'm not so sure Boston wants him back.
No.
You know, they're going to have so much money to spend, it's going to be really interesting to see.
Wow.
Their roster is going to have probably, at least a 40% changeover for frontline players next year. It's going to be interesting to see who they sign.
Hey, Bill, I miss one thing right now. My popcorn, my diet soda, and Duke's hot dog in the fifth inning.
Oh, geez.
That's what I'm missing now. But these long road trips are killing me because, like, you know, you you sit around and watch. You walk on the break. It's nice. But then again, you said, oh, my God, they're out of town. I can't believe it. How many more home games we have left? I think under 30, Bill. I mean, it's where has the summer went?
Yeah, it's going by fast. I know we got a Big Ten game. We got a 6 game and then a 10 game.
Right.
And maybe two more after that. So, yeah, you're probably looking at about 24, 25 home games left.
I'll tell you, we have to take a little time, though, to talk about Buck Showalter and our team from Sarasota because I want to tell you something. They have really they surprised me last year, but they have really surprised me this year. They don't have that great pitching either, but, boy, he picked up – Miller was a great pickup for them. And, you know, I'm not at all surprised if he takes them all away.
I can't disagree. They have a potent lineup. They got pretty good defense. They got arms that are being productive. You know, everybody's used to the usual Baltimore fold at the end of the year, but man, it's late enough now that I don't think that's going to happen.
I agree. I think they're going to be right there. Buck, what a job he's done! I mean, that franchise was dead in the water when he came in there.
Right.
And you know, he and Duquette have done a great, great job of putting together talent and getting that team right back where it should have been for years.
I say he's a heck of a manager, and I always had a lot of respect. And I just remember even last year, Don, when you said when they broke camp, you never thought in a million years they would be as good as they were. And look at the way they are this year.
Absolutely. I mean, when they left camp, nobody – if anybody could tell me when they left camp in Sarasota last year that they thought they'd be a contending team, I'll tell you one thing. They know a heck of a lot more about baseball than I do.
Wow. Oh, that's for sure. Then you go to the Pirates almost losing Andrew McCutchen over there, another team in down your neck of the woods, Don, in the wintertime, Bradenton. Pirates on a roll right now, and I see we won a heck of a race down the stretch. St. Louis, you got Cincinnati playing better baseball, Pittsburgh, and also Milwaukee up there and that. So, Bill, on the question of the day, who do you think are the better of those teams that you've seen in press at Tropicana Field, Milwaukee, St. Louis, or Pittsburgh?
I think St. Louis because of their arms. I don't think you can rule Pittsburgh out because of the athletes that they have in their lineup. Milwaukee is kind of a throwback to the old days with the Blue Crew, Gorman Thomas and the boys. But I think I got to go with St. Louis.
Wow!
I think those arms are pretty good.
Oh, that's a great point. I don't have to go with Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh had a great year last year. This is their year to hopefully win a division right now and that. But Milwaukee was very, very impressive up there. You know, guys, why are they still booing Ryan Braun? That's the question I got to pose to you guys tonight.
That guy, he turned a play in on me, Tommy. The guy cheats, and he gets a 50-game suspension, and then he tries to nickel and dime one of my decisions, and he turns it in for review. Don't even get me started.
No, you're kidding. I didn't know about that. I'm sorry. I didn't know about that. No.
It happened, but I thought that was funny that Ryan Braun would be questioning someone's decision-making
process. Oh, that's terrible.
Exactly. Well, look at Aaron Rodgers, Bill. You know, Aaron Rodgers stood up for him when Braun knew he was lying to him.
Yeah.
Oh, I just can't believe Ryan Braun would do you. You have over 40 years of baseball. Why is this one player questioning your decision about baseball? That's in his case, that's
he's inexcusable.
He's
not alone, but I had to laugh when I got the email from Del Torre. I had to laugh because he said, "Oh, Bill, you know, we got one turned in," and so he sends me the sheet. And it's from Ryan Braun, and I was just laughing. I said, holy mackerel.
That
guy questioned someone else's judgment when, maybe his judgment wasn't the best at some point in time in his life for a longer period than just one baseball play.
Right.
Yeah, and he got away with it one time.
Yeah, he did. I think Bosch and the whole thing that's going on right now is going to implicate a lot of people. There's a pretty well-known college coach who has been implicated already, and he's not in college baseball anymore. And now they're talking about high school kids, dozens of high school kids that we see.
Yeah, I was just going to say, because now it's down to the camps that he involved himself with.
Oh,
that's
terrible. That's
where he got the kids involved.
No, you can't do that, because baseball, when we grew up, guys, in the you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, you never even heard about these steroids thing and that. When I still say when baseball had the first lockout, probably back in 94, that's when the Indians and the White Sox are playing good after all dismal years. And, you know, they had, and the owners came, the Bud Selig says, we want our money back. That's why the birth of the Rays and birth of Arizona. Then Bud Selig, I blame it on Bud Selig, guys. You know why? He turned us back on the steroids. He's looking at money coming in that turnstile every game with the Socia and McGuire. He's looking at that. So I blame it on the commissioner for the steroid thing.
Yeah, I don't know that he turned his back. I think he just – it's societal now. I mean, it's everybody, every man for himself. You don't want to get involved in the other guy's life. You know, it's not my business. Let him do what he wants. I think he's a victim of society, and he's a victim of a $1 billion business as well.
Right.
But he can't be a whistleblower in his position. So I think he's in a no-win situation. I'll give you an example of the steroid era. Back in the day, in 76, there was a lockout, and a lot of the guys from the National League who were training in this area worked out with us when I was a player and entered college.
Uh-huh.
And we had an inter-squad game with Willie Stargell, Lenny Stennett, Tom Seaver, Jerry Kuzman, Pete Rose, Ron Say. All these guys were mixed in with myself, Balboni, Lafay, all the guys who were playing at Eckerd at that time. And we had that game at it was going to start at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. And to show you what guys did instead of PEDs in those days, Ted Simmons showed up dressing in the locker next to mine. He opened up the top of his locker, pulled out a half pint of Jack Daniels, shot down about half of it, went out and went 4-for-5 with 2 doubles and 5 RBIs. Those were the PEDs of the 70s. That was the PEDs of the 70s.
That sounds like a Richie Allen story.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, listen, Bill, NFL players at halftime used to go in. Don knows for a fact with Stan Walters on the 80 Eagles. He'd go
right
in and catch a smoke at halftime at the end of the game. They were smoking in the locker room.
Oh, no. Well, I remember Jimmy Leavin, when he was managing, he always had that cigarette. And you got, Bill, remember, you got to get post-game. He was always puffing that cigarette time to get out. Anyway, well, that's lovely, that secondhand smoke from the manager.
Well, hey, listen, Tommy, when Jimmy Leavin interviewed for the Phillies before they hired Charlie Manuel, he took and needed a break to go out to the C-store up the street from Citizens Bank Park and get a pack of cigarettes for his interview.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Oh, my God. That's crazy, though. But it's just Bill, I got to tell you a funny story. I told the guys just before we started the program. You know, Mike, I told you I went to school with Mike Socia in Springfield, right, in Delaware County.
Right.
And at our house out there, we're listening to Don and Roger do the great job in broadcasting which they did back then. And here we had Dave Batten play for the Washington Bacton Bullets, Bob Gibson played for the Milwaukee Brewers, and Mike Socia was at my house. And we had a lighted full court basketball thing. The competition here to get on that court, I had to sit down. It says, Tommy, it's your house. No, I lost. I had to sit down. The competition there was real good. Another Mike Stewart. This happened this past weekend, Bill. You know, the Wawa, you probably know the Wawa's down in St. Peter's, so big for the hoagies and their sandwiches down there, right?
Right.
So I think I got to bring Mike. I can't bring him a hoagie. I bring him a travel mug up there, right? So Friday night, I sat on his desk, and he says, what's this? Open it up. Oh, my God, a Wawa mug. Oh, thank you so much.
Tommy, we have a caller in. Matthew, dropped off. He wanted to know if Bill thought that the Yankees had a chance this year.
Well, what do you think, Bill?
If they have a chance, I think the Yankees always have a chance. I think I don't think it's the mystique of the ballpark anymore, but I think they have – I think they have the athletes, and I think they have probably, arguably, one of the best bullpens in Major League Baseball right now, which when you come down to the last month of the season, sometimes there's nothing more important than the bullpen. And with Betances and Robertson coming out of the bullpen, it's hard to beat those two guys late in the game.
Well, I'd say two things. One, they've got to get somewhere along the line, they've got to get a pitcher. I mean, they got to get one more guy. They've got four guys that are probably would be a number four or number five on any good staff. I mean, you know, and You're right about the bullpen. If they get him into the seventh inning, he's got a great chance to. But I got to give Cashman all the credit in the world. I mean, unbelievable the job he has done from an administrative standpoint. And then Joe Torre, you talked about manager of the year a few minutes ago, Tommy. Let me tell you something. I see the Yankees play almost every day. I'm watching them right now while we're doing a show. If Joe Torre, if he hasn't done the best job, I mean, you can't imagine what he, last night he used seven pitchers in 12 innings, lost the game, but, I mean, it's unbelievable the way he does things.
Wow.
Well, how many have been on the DL, Don? And so
and if they can't get Tanaka back, I mean, that's going to really,
that's crushing. Yeah, you're right. Tanaka is the key to the end.
Yeah, yep. He started to throw yesterday, and they've got to find somebody that can pitch some innings, because right now, they're working on five innings plus most of the time. Very, very seldom. Last night he went seven, but that's pretty much actually 80 pitches is his limit, and he got into six and a third. I think he pitched last night. And they were ahead 3-1, and they wound up, losing the ball game in the 12th inning.
I think the waiver trades that are going to be coming up are going to be interesting. I don't think the big names are done being moved yet. So it's going to be interesting to see as we move on here with some waiver deadlines and guys realizing, they got to unload some money. It could get interesting here as we move into to late August.
Well, I'll tell you, Bill, here in Atlanta, they're really down on the Braves. I think they lost their eighth straight today. And, the fans are really down. They kid me about the Phillies, and then they also admit that the Braves aren't doing too well. What do you think their chances of turning it around?
Hey, I'm a little biased. Carlos Tosca and I started coaching together at Eckerd College in 1978.
Oh, that's right.
So I'm a little biased in my opinion here, but I think that the Braves, they have the firepower to be able to get it going, but I don't know that they have the starting pitching.
Right.
They've got a bullpen that can be one of the best in the National League, but they can also be throwing buckshot on certain days.
Right.
They're so unpredictable.
Right. Bill,
I tell you, I think the team that, and I thought last year they were going to win it with Davey Johnson, and they didn't do it, and Washington folded up. I mean, right now, if you look at Washington, they should be 8-9 games ahead.
You're right.
But they don't win. I mean, they had every chance in the world to close teams out over the last 7 days, and they can't do it. They just can't win.
Right.
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the parity that's in Major League Baseball right now. Even though you still got the big money clubs, aren't winning, so they're unloading players, which is making the parity factor grow a little bit. So you're seeing some middle of the road clubs play a little bit better, and teams like Washington, who have been, they've been upper middle, they've been a very good competitive team, but they can't get over that hump. Why can't they get over the hump? Well, because they don't have the fourth guy who can step out there and win games for them. They got three, but they don't have the number four. And the number four guy at the big league level is becoming the swing guy. That's the guy that makes the difference for playoff teams, is that number four starter. That's why Detroit has David Price.
Right. Bill, thank you so much for coming on this week. I'll have to get you on next week, talk some more baseball before you get busy again, sir.
Sounds great, man. Whatever you need, I'm here for you.
Oh, God bless
you. Take care, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Talking to you.
A lot of
insight.
Thank you. All right,
gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the program the commissioner of the AFL. He's a good friend of mine, friend of the program, Jerry Kuntz. Jerry, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking the time today. What a week of playoff football for the AFL last week.
No, just a wild weekend, and even wilder for me. I was privileged to be a guest of Derek Brooks for his induction, his enshrinement.
Oh.
So I was in Canton, and I guess I committed it now. I was so happy he went first, not only to be there, but then I ran from Canton to get the end of the Cleveland game, which was a fantastic ending. and then got up early the next morning so I could get to Orlando to see that great playoff game.
Oh, Jesus.
That's dedication.
You got the best job in the world right now.
Yes, you do.
Oh, no, absolutely. But look how good those first-round games were.
Oh.
There was only one one-sided game out of the whole handful of the weekend. And the games we've got slated for this weekend, both on Sunday, both nationally televised, are great matchups. Great matchups.
Well, that's exactly what Lawrence was talking about a little earlier with us when he said, you know, you look at some of the teams that the Storm played very competitively and beat, and he said that the parity is so close that anything can happen with any number of teams. So it's just continuing on into the playoffs.
Oh, no, look at, and he's absolutely correct, look at the Portland-Arizona game.
Right.
But for the oldest guy on the field, who's a great player, Marquise Floyd, picking off that pass, getting that interception, Portland was coming down to win that game. So that was
right.
A great ending. Great ending. And a great ending in Orlando. Great ending in Cleveland, once again, to the Cardiac Kids, and a field goal after Philadelphia went for two.
Yes.
And took the lead. I mean, great games. I'm just excited, as you can tell, about it.
I was thinking of you watching the festivities from Canton, because your predecessor, Dave Baker, was out there putting the jackets giving them to the players on Friday night. And I was just thinking, boy, what a heck of a weekend it was in Canton for the Arena League. With you there, and with Dave Baker now president of the Hall of Fame,
and one of our owners in Pittsburgh, Lynn Swan, a member of the Hall of Fame, was there up on the stage for the Shrymen as well.
Yes, that's a great
representation.
In the audience is a former congressman, former Eagles player, who's a former AF2 owner, John Runyon, was also there.
Oh, that's
right. Oh, was he there too? Yeah.
He was there. No, absolutely. Michael Strahan called him out.
Oh.
That's right. Right, Don, that used to be the big matchup.
When Buddy traded for Runyon, that was supposed to take him to the Super Bowl.
Right.
He was supposed to be the biggest. He talked management into getting Runyon because he was going to turn the line around. He was going to become a leader into the next, in the deep end of the playoffs in the Super Bowl.
What happened?
Great player, but it was great. We had tremendous representation there. And Eddie Kayak, former Eagles player himself.
Oh, yeah.
Great,
sure.
Great coach for us. He was there. So a lot of arena football present in Canton, Ohio.
We had Eddie Kayak on, didn't we, Tommy? And
sure,
last year
up there. But the most important question of the day, Jerry, how is the weather? And did you go to Higbee's right across from the queue? You know, Higbee's in the casino right across the street.
Yeah, I stay out of there because the last thing I need are pictures of me in casino walking through a sports book or anything. So, and if anybody says it was me, nah, it's my evil twin brother or something. Or it's Ben Bernanke who's accused of being my double. I stay out of them. But Cleveland's a great town. This Sunday we've got our CBS game of the week is in Cleveland. That's going to be a great game with Orlando doing extremely well. And then following that, so we got a doubleheader, which is great. Then we follow with ESPN from Arizona. And that's going to be a barn burner, having Arizona host San Jose.
Wow.
Two good games, and both are national televised.
Wow. Jerry, if Cleveland keeps on winning, be their first football championship. So I'm showing my age right now. Since 1964 when the Browns defeated the Colts with Frank Ryan and Gary Collins. That's back. I'm showing my age right now. I didn't go to the game, but I sat down and watched the game with my dad. And that's the last time Cleveland's actually won a football championship or football championship of any kind. And it's funny because when they played the Storm, I talked to the kicker. He's from Ohio State. And I think he coached in Northeastern Ohio. One of the high schools in Northeastern Ohio out there. I said I used to work for.
No, the head coach is Stevie Thon, who was one of our first players, and we got him at an open trial.
Oh, okay.
That we held at Wheaton College, where he had been a player.
Oh.
And living out there. and Stevie's been in the league for a long time, was a really good wide receiver for us. The interesting thing about the Cleveland-Philadelphia game is that Steve gets credit for having been Clint's coach. Clint first started with the Milwaukee Mustangs, then went down to our Houston team, and Steve was the coach. And I think Clint gives him the most credit for developing that as an AFL quarterback. So it was interesting to see those two together.
Well, wow, you really have to say one thing. You've got great coverage. I mean, you really have.
Absolutely.
I mean, you stepped right up as far as the coverage is concerned. I know you're a sort of behind the scenes in terms of making that move, but I'll tell you, that to me, that's been one of the biggest stories of the year.
No, absolutely, and I'm glad I'm behind the scenes now, but I was pleased to be right in those meetings with ESPN, CBS last year, and then going on to this year and many years to come, and then being there for the meetings when we were able to secure a 3-year agreement with ESPN was one of the great things to happen to us in a long time, and really an accomplishment this year for our league.
I mentioned earlier that the Soul just had one of their players signed by the Cowboys today. Do you see additional players after this weekend and after the championship bowl? Do you see more players going to the NFL?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And another arena football connection to Dallas, besides Jerry Jones used to having an AFL team, their head of their scouting department is Will McClay, who was a great player in the AFL with the Detroit Drive for years, and then coached for the Dallas Desperados, Jerry Jones' AFL team. They took him full-time with the Cowboys. Talked to Will on Sunday, as a matter of fact, working on that signing that the Cowboys did.
Wow. Oh, that's a great tribute for what you've done for this league and what Lawrence did down here. That's why, I just miss the AFL right now, being there live at the Tampa Bay Times for watching this great product. Now it's I'm kind of disappointed the Storm's not in there and I have to watch it on TV, but a great job coverage on TV. My eyes will be glued on the TV on Sunday afternoon, watch these two great games.
Remember what I always say, everybody you know have them turn on a TV and every TV in their house.
Okay, yeah, and it's great product up there, and that's so Jerry, you flew from the cool weather of Cleveland to the hot weather of Orlando. Hopefully we're prepared for the hot weather down here in Florida.
No, the toughest part is that when I left Cleveland early, I had to put my uniform on, my suit and tie, go straight from the airport to the arena, but. bringing a new owner in there, I'm very pleased about as well. Having Mr. Siegel take over the Orlando market, he's a great credit to the market. He's going to be very good for it. Adding him as ownership in that market, the fans are very appreciative of that, and that's going to make sure that team is on the right track for many years to come.
Well, last year on the show, near the end of the season, right after the season, you had a few surprises for us. You got to give us a little surprise this year, too?
I'm always hoping to give surprises. It wouldn't be as much fun. No, I mean, we've got some good things going. The one that everybody knows about, they've seen a lot of the adverts and the trailers. I'm even in one of the trailers, but Fourth and Loud. The docu-series about the Kiss is airing August 12th, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central on AMC. And we want everybody to tune into that because that's really going to be a great deal of exposure for our league. And I have a cameo in the first episode.
Well, great. We're going to watch that. I'm going to call you about. So actually, you were... Well, I should give our opinions about, which I know that's going to be great. I know
now,
that.
Commissioner, do they compare you to Richard Gere or Brad Pitt or who?
Not a chance. Come on now.
Gary, how did the Kiss do this year, their inaugural season in L.A.?
You know, they did less than what they wanted to do on the field. Mm-hmm. However, they never had less than 10,000 at a game.
Wow.
Always more. Their game presentation, it was exactly what Gene and Paul promised. They promised an experience, not just a game, but an experience. And anybody who was at the game or watched it, from the dancing girls in the cages above the field to the fireworks to the rock band that's in the end zone the whole game to the BMX riders, the national anthem being done by a rocker, it is great. Everything that we were promised by the KISS group, we got. They delivered,
wow.
And this docuseries is another thing that they promised us. And everybody, people that get to see arena football love it. But the value of having KISS come in, and people like them before, Bon Jovi, and hopefully we'll get some other crossover people that are just sports people. Sports people are great. However, when we get people like the KISS group that are outside of sports, the Tampa Bay Lightning, Cavaliers, those are sports groups, and they're great to have. But when we get a group that's as well-known as KISS and are outside the sports group, we get people outside of sports looking at us because that group is in, and that helped us because I think we developed 10,000-plus more fans coming to those games, and a lot of them came for KISS and stayed because of arena football. So that's a great thing.
That is awesome. You couldn't happen to a better person like yourself, Jerry, a great league. I mean, we're going to be 2-0 on this coming this weekend and that. And then I was at the forum the other day, and our field is still up, and I just walked in that field. It says, next year, you're going to be coming down to Tampa periodically because we're going to be AFC champion. We're going to be AFL champions next year.
And that'd be a great thing. I mean, Lawrence Samuels is a tremendous coach. His staff is great across the board. You know, ownership there, Mr. Vinnick, is just tremendous asset for our league. But having Derek, Hall of Famer or not, and Jeff Gooch and Dave Wilson, they're just, you know, great examples of the type of management we need and want across the league.
We had Lawrence on earlier program. I said, Lawrence, 17-1 next year. We're gonna be dancing into August and dancing in the streets.
Which one are they gonna lose, Tommy?
I have to guess Orlando. I don't know, but you know me, Jerry. I'm always confident in our organization now. You know that. I'm always confident.
And you know that there were a number that were just close ones. And that's the value of the game. A reporter asked me after the game, and I don't think he did justice in what he printed, but he asked me if I was excited during the game. Because of how that game was going, I said, no, this is arena football. All games are exciting like that.
That's
so he wrote
exciting.
That the commissioner wasn't excited.
No.
I'm always excited at a game. I wasn't excited because of that game. All our games are exciting. But that was arena football. And I said, our fans need to be better educated that they need to stay to the end because our game's not over till the end.
Yeah, I will toast to that, and then that writer did not have no idea what he was writing about. The AFL is such an exciting game, and Jerry, I love the AFL better than the NFL, and that's the honest to God's truth.
Well, Jerry, when you started off by saying,
and I love them both. I love them both.
When you started off by saying that, you know, the cardiac kids in Cleveland, boy, they had a few. Their team had a few games that the clock ticked out as they won.
No, it was just amazing, you know, and they're serious with Philadelphia. were just amazing. The first one with the two pop-up onside kicks, the second one that was a national broadcast as well that I had the pleasure of being at, you know, the Hail Mary that they got on a tip. And this one, you know, amazing again. So, you know, they're a good team. Cleveland doesn't have really named stars. Their quarterback started as a backup. He didn't have that much, time under center. In Hawaii. However, what the coach there has done is remarkable in the sense that he gets them to play together. He has done what every coach strives to do, to get them to play for what's on the front of the jersey and not what's on back of the jersey, the name. the name of the team's on the front, the player's name is on the back, and Stevie really has everybody playing for the front of the jersey, which is every coach's goal.
I can vouch for that, the way when Cleveland played the Storm the last game. I mean, I thought we had a chance to win it, playing the playoffs going back to Cleveland, but Cleveland prevailed, and they were the better team that one night. But I was telling Lawrence over in the program, the job he's done down here in his first year in Tampa, you got to be up for coach of the year or something. The job he has done down here, it's been terrific.
And you're absolutely correct. And I had no doubt. I had the pleasure of knowing him for a long time, all his playing days and since. However, you know, he instills the discipline, the leadership, sets the example. Almost every one of our coaches played our game. And I think that means an awful lot to the players, because we don't have any coaches that are asking players to do things that they didn't do or couldn't do or wouldn't do. And I think that makes a difference to our players.
Good point.
Absolutely.
Great point, because Lawrence did that in his career, Ironman of the year, several years, both two-way. And every play as a player, Lawrence poured his heart and soul in that one play in that game. And it reflects it on the players right now, because the Storm won 5 games in a row. The DBs were playing great, and the defense is playing great. It's unfortunately the Storm had a couple of bad breaks, you know, down the stretch when it had an awful streak in the middle.
A couple injuries here and there.
Sure, definitely.
As well. But I got to tell you, you know, having Chris and Doug as the two assistants there, Doug Kay has forgotten more than a lot of people will ever know in arena football. He's tremendous. And Chris coming over, and you know, here's a guy who was this scary guy, you know, and this hard charger in his NFL career, and still is a hard charger, but is just such a great teacher for our players. And I've been so impressed, you know, what Doug and Chris have done as well to support Lawrence and teach our kids the game and make them appreciate the game.
Because I know a couple times in our practice, you know, like Lawrence is working the offense, Chris is down there with the defense. He's teaching them every move, hitting those dummies down there, and every move by the inside, outside, inside, outside. And at one practice, Chris is throwing a ball, and he says, "Oh my gosh, you should have been quarterback. There's a perfect spiral." He looks back and says, "Tommy, did you say that?" I said, "Yeah, I said that."
but that's what I'm so pleased. The experience that Lawrence put together. You know, Lawrence has all that experience as a player and as an assistant. But I think Lawrence knew that taking over his head, his responsibilities would have to change. There's a big transition from going from an assistant to a head. You now can't be the buddy so much. Assistant coaches
right.
are the buddies. Head coach, you know, you still want to be a buddy, but you now have to invoke the discipline.
Right.
You make the cuts. You've got to make the hard decision, who's playing, who's not playing, those kind of things. And I think Lawrence really did an excellent job of making sure he brought in two assistants who really were going to be part of the program and not just be there, but really contribute, and Doug and Chris do.
I can vouch that every practice I was at, even Frank was at a practice, several practices too, and he said Lawrence designate the leadership to both Chris and Doug, and you could tell it on the field during the games.
Yeah, no, very pleased with that, and very proud of Lawrence and that whole staff. And that whole organization has been a credit to the league.
Yes, and then hopefully you'll be back in Cleveland in a couple weeks and see the Gladiators win their first championship in front of the Cleveland home fans. Jerry, you probably know there's the drive, the fumble, the shot, the Charles Henry blown save.
You know, and Bernie Kosar's there, who's been a contributor to our league over the years, still is a supporter of our league. I always love to see Bernie. Bernie's one of the greatest people I've ever met. So love to go to Cleveland, have the game there, and get to spend time with Bernie and other people that are just such great people there.
Jerry, I got to tell you a funny story. Bernie was with the Florida Panthers. He's in the coach's office, right? And he coaches at ESPN. This is like during a practice up there. And he had the Browns they had a Browns Broncos game on there, and they showed John Elway making the drive. The coach looked up. He said, "Bernie, he said, turn that game off. I was the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns."
No.
Coach just turned that off up there. So it was coming.
No,
up there.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Jerry, Jerry, thank you again for coming on and give us an update about the AFL. We have to get you on next week, same time, same station. If time prevails in your busy schedule, give us an update for the championship game.
Always have time for my friends. Thank you, guys.
Always appreciate it, Jerry.
Thank you very much.
Be safe.
We always learn a lot when you're with us.
Yes,
we sure do.
Talk to you soon. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Guys, it doesn't get better than this. Bill Matthews for baseball, Lawrence Samuels, and a commissioner of a great game in the AFL. Guys, it doesn't get better this every week.
Terrific.
It's fantastic up there. But
we can get you to stop picking teams. I think we'd be much better.
I'm getting ready for the football season.
that's a kiss of death.
Will Cleveland lose again? Right to drive the fumble on a Tommy G pick. I'll be banned in the city for life up there, but I'm getting ready for the football picks. This is coming up in the year up there. I know Roy Cummins is very busy for the Buccaneers training camp. Once everything frees up, we'll get to get him on next week, and he goes up to the NFL up there, and that, so it'll be good up there. Roger, what do you think about the Falcons this year? Have you been out to camp this year at all, or have you been out there at all?
No, I've been by, and I've heard a lot of comments, and I don't know whether you heard, their first round draft pick from a couple of years ago, Perry and Jerry, he went in and I didn't see it. I don't have HBO, but I don't know if any of you saw Hard Knocks last night. They were talking about it, and they showed him going into Mike Smith's office. And Mike was asking him, what are you going to do? What are your plans? You're 5 years in the league, and you're just walking away. And maybe a family business. And I didn't know, of course, I didn't see it, but if you did see it, they said that Jerry walked out after talking to the coach and never shook his hand. Didn't thank him for everything he had done for him over the last 5 years.
Is that right?
Just walked away. Yeah, they were talking about it today on the radio about how they thought it was not well handled at all, not by Mike, but, I mean, by Jerry. But they lost a offensive lineman the other night. I haven't heard the results of his test, but he was taken in an ambulance to, I guess, Northeast Georgia Medical Center, and a leg injury, and they said it was very serious, but don't know the outcome.
Oh, let's hope it's okay, because football is such a very shortened life in the NFL right now. Let's hope it's okay in that. But why would a guys, walk out after 5 years, I mean, not say hello to your coach, say goodbye to your coach, and your coach is supposed to be behind you 100%. If you have a problem, always speak up to the coach.
Well, he was behind him 100%, Tommy, and the only thing I can see is you get some guy who grew up, out in the country, and he's made a lot of money on his, first rookie contract. And, he's got millions in the bank. And I don't know whether you watch the Housewives shows on Sunday night on Bravo. My wife does. I watched it the other night too, and I've watched it a couple times.
Don't tell us a lie now, Roger. You watch it every week. You love it.
Well, not every week, Don. But have you seen the show that is on with Troy Bierman and his wife?
No, I didn't.
That's
I never,
on. I think
I've never
9:30.
Seen the show.
Well, let me tell you something. She had one kid out of wedlock. Then she had one with a guy who's now in jail. Oh, and then she's had four kids with Troy Bierman. And today they were talking about his performance last night on Hard Knocks and at camp. And all I can say is after watching that show once or twice, all I can say is his direction is more non-football than football.
and they have to bleep his wife. I've seen her over at camp in the past.
Oh,
and
right.
He's got like a $3 million contract, but today they were talking about that he may get cut.
Ooh,
and,
wow.
Because that's $3 million against the cap.
Right.
And she's getting $500,000 for every one of those episodes.
No.
And she spent $50,000, I think it was, on luggage to go on a trip in their RV with all their kids.
Well, I'll tell you, talking about that, but also, you know, Strahan, boy, has he been run over the coals. I mean, here's a guy who's one of the most popular people in the entertainment business right now. But, boy, is he taking the heat for his life. And and the fact that he, you know, was in the Hall of Fame and boy, I don't know what you can say about these guys. I mean, it just seems like they're all they want to do is print stuff that I never even heard of it before.
I know. Well, that's the way it is. And you know, Don and Frank and Tommy, today there was an article in the Daily News about you know, the U.S. representative Chaka Patah. His wife is an anchor at Channel 10, and the son's 31 or 32 years old, and he's going to go to the big house, and he has defrauded the Philadelphia School District and many other entities. And this guy was living in the Ritz-Carlton, had an apartment in the Ritz-Carlton, and they said, well, what do? I have a consulting business. And he was in all kinds of debt, and he's stolen money from people, and it's unbelievable.
How about the banks that gave him? It's amazing to me that people that you know who go down and try to get mortgages or whatever it may be, and how long it takes them to be checked out and get. This guy, it's all fake, and they're giving him $400,000 and $500,000.
Right. Well, look at the Reverend Irving Fryer and his mother.
Right.
Were found guilty, and they went for second mortgages at several banks at the same time, so that they one wouldn't know that the other one was investigated.
Right.
That's a mess up there. God, why can't you know, the guys make this money? Like the remember what that was George? I think it was Larry Holmes out of Eastern PA. First time he won a couple fights, he got a business manager, and he managed his money. You hear nothing bad against, you know, that gentleman at all.
Well,
I don't know whether you fellows had a chance to see the Buffalo Jets game, Giants, Buffalo Giant game. But, boy, some of the feature stories they did around that, Buffalo quarterback and how he's
working with
the kids. Jim Kelly, right, and how he's working with the kids out there running camps. I mean, boy, oh, boy, it was a really a great piece, I thought, on Kelly and his attitude and how he's going about his business. And he was supposed to go back for another checkup this week. I think they gave him a treatment last week, and he's supposed to go back. And I thought they did a terrific, terrific piece with that.
You know, Don, Rita and I were saying we never thought that he'd even be able to get up. Okay, and to be up there on the stage, because we had seen him a couple of weeks ago, and he was on death row in the hospital.
His wife was there.
Dan Marino came in. You probably remember that. And I want to tell you what he did, and then to get up and throw Andre Reed that pass at the dais. I just thought that was fantastic. But there's a couple that's lost a son. You know, he lost a son when he was a little boy. I mean, God bless him. That's all I can say.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. And, boy, he's got the right attitude, you know. And at the end, he said, when they were working with little kids in the football camp, and he said, you know, they talk about me being sick. He said, I got a lot to live for. I mean, you know.
That's right.
Boy, I'll tell you, he's approaching it the best way you can.
That's the main thing. I still say today, guys, you probably agree with me, Buffalo was the AFC champion. No matter what happened in the Super Bowl, they're a championship of that league. That means more in those tough AFC teams from Buffalo to play in right now. Then they always say, Norwood, right, they choked. They just played a better football team on that given Sunday.
Four straight times, right.
I know.
Poor Levy, I mean... you can't believe a guy can get there four times and can't win one.
I know.
Well,
it's just very...
Speaking of Levy, Don, he looks great. For
yes,
his
he
age,
did.
Doesn't he?
Yes,
well,
he did.
Well, remember when he was Jerry Williams' assistant when Pete Redslop and Len Toews took over the Eagles' control.
That's right.
Oh, that's right. I remember that now. I remember the old Eagle days at Franklin Field. You had Pete Liss as your quarterback, and you'd say, oh, boy, if we can just win one game, we pray for one game down there and that. But I remember as a little kid when Eagles just had the center season tickets up there, right? They said, here are your seven championship games. And I thought, oh, my God, every Sunday's a championship game as a little kid.
Hey, Tommy, I'll tell you what. You're going to wish you were in Philadelphia because they've sold it out. But the Eagles are going to have their third and final open practice for the fans at Franklin Field.
Oh, no, oh, my God,
you're
kidding.
Yeah, they didn't have tickets for the link because, you know, they got a lot more seating. But
right.
They're going to have it. Last year, I know Don's aware, but they were thinking about having that reunion game at Franklin Field.
Wow.
Right.
You know, when they brought back the 60 team.
Wow.
I'll tell you, I can remember that 60 game just like it was yesterday. That's
I
amazing.
Know. On a cold day after Christmas, Don.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. But I'll tell you, you know, as Tommy said at the top of the show, and you and I have talked about it a lot, Roger, I mean, all of these games have changed so much. And as Bill said a little bit ago, I mean, they're making so much money now. The fundamental game of baseball, the fundamental tackling in football, I mean, it's just another game. It's another world. And myself, I mean, I don't like to see 58 to 56 games. I mean, I know a lot of people do. But it's not what I call football.
No, I got to agree with that. I got to – it's all the refereeing, Don. When you think about it, the DB, like, you can't touch a receiver now. And
wait till
like,
this year. You see, they've already had a seminar.
No.
You're not even going to be able to run by a receiver too closely. Now they're going to call holding.
Oh, my God.
Suspended Marcellus Bennett already because he got in an altercation with one of the defensive guys on his team.
Right.
Oh. Boy, that's a dumb thing right there. Now they're saying down here in Tampa, the Buck team might be the sleeper team in the whole NFC with the job Lovey Smith's done down here and that. And I haven't been out of practice yet, Roger, Frank, and Don, but it's just what I'm reading for reports, what Roy's been telling us in the Tribune up there and that. So he did a great piece about Vincent Jackson up there. He don't care about the receptions. He just cares about winning football games. I remember he's at the forum up there, and I remember talking to him up there, and I said, Vincent, it's good to see you. Tommy, how you been? I didn't know you work here. I'm fine. How you been? So thank you for a great year. Thank you for the great years. I don't get a chance to see you on Wednesdays anymore. And, of course, you know, Sunday's a mob by the media. He says, Tommy, if you need anything, you call me. You come over and see me, and I will take care of you. And that's a class individual right there.
Well, you know, Chris Collinsworth came out, I understand, on the broadcast. I didn't see all of it on Sunday night, but came out and said something about that he could see the Eagles being in the Super Bowl after seeing Chip Kelly's practices.
Well, remember after the first game last year, Roger, everybody was conceding the championship. Let's wait and see.
I'm with you. Take it a day at a time.
And the round mound of rebounds out there in Kansas City, we'll have to see whether he can come back and take that team again to the playoffs.
Hey, listen, they're already when Alex Smith is the quarterback that they don't think he can do anywhere near what he did last year.
Yeah,
oh, gee,
right.
That's a mess. So we have to start doing our football picks. And Don, you are the champion from last year. You won just about every week.
Hail
Frank
to the Chief.
Yeah, Frank, hail to the Chief. I think I just won one week. We're going to have Lawrence Samuels in the poll. Brett Dietz wants to come in the poll, too. So then, of course, Leo and Jeff from Flower Baker was coming in the poll, too, for this week. I think we just might do the show picking football games.
You know,
yeah, well, Leo's up in Lawrenceville, up by Don.
That's right, yeah.
I would not have a problem with them coming in if they'd only answer the damn phone when I call.
Who's that, Mr. Dietz or what?
Wait a minute, that is our director. That is our director for those people that don't recognize his voice. He is our producer, director, And I guess he fell asleep there for us.
I'm the Du Bois. Tommy said, did you do this? Did you,
you know,
that?
Frank, you know, I don't know whether we could still get him. I don't know. I forget if I sent you a note about it. You know that fellow that, that lives out in Downingtown that's one of the evaluators of the refs? He
right,
said that
right.
he could be on any time except, what, during the season, I think. Isn't that what he said?
That's
yeah,
what he
that's
said.
That,
yeah,
yeah
wow. So maybe we could get him before the season starts.
Sure. Could you refax me that number, Roger?
I will. Yeah, I have it, and I'll send you a note.
Yeah, I went on vacation in Irish. I have to be retrained on everything.
That's right.
At least the computer didn't crash.
What do you think?
No.
Let me ask you this, Frank. Do you think it'll work better the second time around than it did the first?
No. Hell no.
Oh, no. I still
the reason I've been with the same woman for 51 years is nobody would take me the second time.
Well, I told Frank this the other day. I think that picture that he sent out with his grandchildren was absolutely fantastic.
Yes. Oh, thank you for that. Yes.
The crown and everything, and
right.
RG and I were at Einstein's on Monday, and I showed him Frank's picture. He thought it was great. And then RG, while we're at Einstein's, he says, "Oh yeah, after you called me on Saturday night about Friday night when the replay of the presentation of the Blazers." I'm telling everybody over the weekend, hey, I had breakfast with that guy that was presenting the Blazers because Dave Baker, we used to have bagels and coffee at Einstein's when he'd be up here, you know, before he took the president of the Hall of Fame. He'd come
wow.
out and see, you know, his son Sam playing for the Eagles early on, and he'd be in there every morning whenever there was a home game on Sunday.
Well, the one thing that I thought we were going to start the show with, to be honest with you, and I wrote down a number of notes here, but I thought
uh-huh.
the one thing that Frank was going to start with, his leading quarterback that is a National Football League hero is going to the booth.
That's right. That's exactly right.
He's giving up football after a very,
right.
very lustrous career.
I know.
Well, 7 years and
got,
a retirement.
We got that press release, didn't we?
He got 7 years.
I thought Frank would start to go with
he's
that.
Happier than a pig in squat.
Well, you know what I was thinking, Frank, about your grandson, Brady Quinn.
Great.
Yes. Yes, we always think about, you know, they could
Brady,
do
in fact,
that.
Brady is just coming in from practice tonight. He is the starting quarterback for the East Bradenton Bulldogs.
Nice.
Mighty Mike team. And he's going to be a lot more thoughtful and direct with his passes than his namesake, and when he goes to Notre Dame, also play there.
There we go.
Well, you're so close, so I thought maybe you'd even have him on the show tonight to sort of promo, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call Judge Tom Krug, who was the quarterback after Paulus.
Oh, okay.
And he talks to him on a weekly basis. I'm going to call him tonight and see if we can't get him on for next week.
There
oh, my
go,
God,
it'd
be fantastic. There we go. We have to be on our best behavior, right?
Frank,
hey, Tommy,
Frank,
yeah, you were talking about
you know, Roger and I have a lot of suggestions. We can help you out, you know.
I wanted to ask Tommy, he was talking about the guys that he went to Springfield with. Was Jeff Petrie in your class?
Jeff was probably, I think, Roger, in the 60s up there. His sister Paula was probably in class of 75 up there in that.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Petrie fought was he followed Bradley to Princeton, so he had
yes.
to be
Princeton. That's right.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
He had to
yeah.
be. He had to be much younger.
Right, but then Paula Petrie, his you know, his sister was a basketball player too up there, and that she was great. I remember that. Don, you love this story. I remember every time Dave would play a basketball game, I always would have the guys from Penn would be out there. The coach, not Harder, but coach, I know Roy Massimino was always out there watching his games. I know I had to go up from the locker room and tell Dave, Mr. Coach Massimino's out there. Who was our coach in Penn in the 70s? I'm trying to think of that guy. He's always out there.
McCluskey.
That's who it was, yeah, because he was
McCluskey.
Always out there to watch Dave play basketball, and I got to start talking to him out there about the Big Five. He said, all right, what's your favorite team in the Big Five? I said, St. Joe. And I said, the Hawk would never die, and I walked away.
Right.
Well, you know,
yeah, Tommy, you're
Al
talking
Bagdolia
about Villanova
people.
And the great Rolly Massimino. He was the guy who actually recruited John DuPont to come to bring his money over to build the pavilion.
To the pavilion?
Oh.
At Villanova.
Oh.
And if, I don't know if you, you know, Casey swam for Foxcatcher, and I had
oh.
a chance to be with the nutbag many, many nights.
Who was on the back? Who was on the back of those bills that he gave to Villanova for his field house?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I know he was. He used to like to swim with the boys. But
well, I'll tell you, Frank,
I don't know
if I was thinking about you. We were over at Neighbors, and their daughter's a coach and teacher at Friend Select. She was down because our neighbor had a knee replacement. And they live in Lansdowne, and she was telling me that a kid that started as a freshman at Temple in baseball went to Bonner, third generation went to Bonner. With Temple dropping baseball, he's gone to St. Joe's. Of course, doesn't have to sit out, but here he's as a freshman, he was a starter and quite a player. So. The Hawks will have him, and we'll probably be reading about him being drafted in a few years.
That's great. That's great.
You mean some of us have baseball anymore?
No, yeah. They dropped nine sports.
No.
Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yep. Yeah, they did that quite. And, you know, it's amazing because, you know, what they're doing with the football program and the amount of money that they're spending.
Oh.
I mean, it's just amazing to me, and they're still talking about building this new stadium. I mean, where is the money going to come from? They're in the same position that they are in Sarasota. There's no state money. There's no county money. There's no
right.
city money. Where are you going to get money to build a college stadium that's going to seat 30,000 people?
Mm.
And then when you get that, you know, for instance, when they bring Notre Dame in next year, you know, they play. Fortunately, they got one more year to go at the link. So they can get away with it. You know, they can play Notre Dame
right,
there not,
right.
not have any problem. But how about 5 years from now if they were to, you know, if they were to schedule Nebraska? So where are you going to play
right.
them?
Yep.
Great question.
Right.
Great question. Because
well, you know, I think I mentioned to you that Turner Field, when the Braves leave to go to Cobb County in 17, Turner Field is going to become the Georgia State Athletic Complex.
Yeah, you said.
And instead of them having to rent from the Dome and, of course, from the new stadium, they'll be able to convert Turner Field into all-purpose and probably eliminate some stands, and they'll be able to have a 30,000, 40,000 seat football stadium rather than, you know, 70 or 80,000.
Well, Roger, you know yourself, I mean, these stadiums that they're building and then tearing down in 25 years, I mean, Giants Stadium, this is crazy. I mean, how much money can you spend on these teams to build new stadiums?
Great question,
well, correct me if I'm wrong, Tom, but I think the link this year, didn't the Eagles spend $50 million to upgrade it?
Yes. Yes, they did.
Right?
And they don't want any. I talked to who was it I talked to about it? They don't want any part of Temple playing there. They want to get
wow.
rid of them. They want to get rid of them altogether. Chet Zukowski, Chet Zukowski. He told me that they have absolutely no interest in Temple being a part of even for the amount of money that they're paying them.
Mm.
Well, I know they dropped 12-10. They moved to the Fanatics.
Right.
Talking about the Fanatic, we got to talk about a friend of all of ours, Tony Bruno.
Oh,
from Mr. Bruno, this time to San Francisco.
No.
Yeah.
Why is that, Roger?
He went back to San Francisco?
He went to San Francisco. You know, he didn't sign the new contract. He got a job.
Right.
But he's going to do his show on ESPN on TV. I think it's on ESPN. He's going to do it from San Francisco.
How can you hire that guy? I mean, I worked with him for I worked with him for 5 years in Philly at 1210, And, I mean, nicest guy in the world, but, I mean.
We love him.
3 months from now, he'll be somewhere else.
Wow. I know.
But did he want to come back to Philadelphia anyway because his mom and his family are back there?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
His kids are there and his grandchildren, Tommy. That's why he came back.
Oh,
right.
That's
you
why.
Know,
okay.
He got divorced because his wife wouldn't move to the West Coast. He told me the whole
story.
And I love the guy. I mean,
sure.
You know, I used to sit next to him with Don. It was Henry, Don, Skip Clayton, Tony Bruno, and me.
That's
wow.
Right.
That's
right.
The bet.
Oh.
And, but I'll tell you, he's had, you know, ESPN, WIP, Fox Sports Radio. I mean, he's been all over the world.
Wow.
Well, he and I did the 1210 morning show for, I'm going to say, maybe 2 or 3 years before when
I
he
remember
first
that,
did,
yes.
Yeah, when he
right.
first came in and they put together the morning show there, and I worked with him. He's a very, very nice guy, very talented guy. But he just moves around. I mean, he's like an Indian.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Don. You always said it's one contract and done with Tony.
Yeah.
He'll stay around for the next contract.
Wow.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But he keeps coming up with jobs, though.
Yeah, and I figured he must have known, you know, that he had one in San Fran to not sign a new contract with
right.
The Fanatic. But I'll tell you, in another case, Stephen A. Smith got in a lot of trouble. He was suspended, you know, for his comments after
right.
the Ray Rice episode. But then also, I don't know whether you ever watch when Nesson in the morning, Kirk Minahane, went off on Aaron Andrews.
They
suspended him, too.
They suspended him, but it should have been a lot worse, in my opinion. I'm not a fan of his. I've watched him several times. I think he... I think he thinks a lot of himself, too much of himself. But to come back and apologize and then say, well, if she was 15 pounds heavier, she'd be a waitress at Perkins. That's not an apology. Okay?
Erin Andrews is a sweetheart. She used to work down here in Tampa with the Lightning, and she was a sweetheart. She's a friend of mine. I mean, my God, every time
She turned a lot of heads around on Dancing with the Stars because they thought it was a very poor move by the producers. And I'll tell you what, my wife, for one of them, she never thought that it was a good move. She thinks she's done the best job of any other woman that had been our co-host.
Exactly. I know Erin when she started here with the Lightning for Sun Sports before this was the transformation that before Paul Kennedy came aboard up. He was with us first year, then Erin just got the position. Erin's very astute about sports. She's a great personality, a great person, a great kid. Like Kelly Nash for the does the race broadcast up there in that. They're great people up there in that. And I told Kelly Nash that she got a lot of bad stuff in her, that Twitter and everything else. She's on Twitter and Facebook. Says, Kelly, do me one favor. I'm acting to be your father now. Get away from that stuff. You don't need that stuff. Get yourself off of that because she's... And then she got off that. She's a happier person. People say, Don, Roger Frank, people's email or bad stuff in that Twitter out there.
Well, I'll tell you
that's a lot of people.
Maybe you guys realized that. I did not. They were doing it, talking about last night on the Yankee. There's never been a baseball player on that dancing. I haven't seen it, the show, but they were talking about it last night at great length that, there's never been a baseball player involved in Dancing with the Stars.
Wow.
You know, I think you're right, Don. I'll have to ask Rita because she's, you know, kept like a log in her mind about it. But, you know, I'll tell you another thing. I don't know whether you guys have heard this, fact or fiction, but it came on one of the sports stations in Atlanta today that there's pictures out there of Jerry Jones with two women in a restroom. And I guess they're inappropriate photos. And what happened was, I don't know how a guy got him, but he was trying to hold Jerry Jones up, you know.
No.
And, you know,
I heard that yesterday, the day before, yeah. That's unbelievable. Well, they were kidding Paul O'Neill because Paul O'Neill's going to be honored at Yankee Stadium. He's going to have a plaque put up on a wall this coming weekend. And they were kidding Paul O'Neill that he should be the first one to join Dancing with the Stars and become the first baseball player to participate in the show.
What did he say about that?
he kidded around a lot about it, and you know, he didn't say he wouldn't do it. As I say, he kidded around a lot, and I guess his wife wanted to see if maybe he would do it, and so it'll be interesting to see whether they pick up on it or not. But that was one of the players that they talked about, and as they said, because of it being in the you know, during the season, baseball season, it's tough to get a baseball player because they're playing. You know,
right.
It's not an off-season kind of thing. And, of course, O'Neill's just doing commentary. He's doing a great job, I'll tell you. He's really good on the Yankee broadcast and much better than I ever thought he would have been. You know, just listening to him for years in interviews and so forth. But he's really funny, and he has a great knack of getting across information and very astute. I mean, he really is very, very good.
Well, you know, we did lose one of the really fine baseball broadcasters the other day, Pete Van Wieren.
Yep.
And he passed away at, I think, 69 years old of cancer, a long battle, and they called him the professor. And, you know, when you think about it now, those three, that group of Skip Carey, Ernie Johnson, and Pete Van Wieren, all three of them are gone at relatively young ages.
Wow. Yep. We used to come down to Tampa for a visit. First thing, you got Channel 44. First thing you beam up there was the old TBS, and you got the Atlanta Braves down there. So
right.
when the Rays were born here, people were excited. Why couldn't he be in the National League? And I said to a couple people, American League, you got the better teams coming in. At the time, you know, all the teams were training in Florida, Blue Jays, the Yankees and Tampa back then. You got the Indians were in Winter Haven, the Tigers in Lakeland, and the Red Sox up there and that. But people still want the National League to come down there. But I'm an American League guy. I love the American League. And when the National League comes here, I think when they play the Rays, I think it's kind of boring. I'm so used to the American League, the long games up there, you know, the 3 hours and 55-minute games in the of the American League. Don, you remember those games. We'd come down and watch the Rays or the Blue Jays, and Bill would say, well, what time of the game, 3 hours and 55 minutes. You know, like,
well, as Roger just said, just think about it for a minute with the three lead broadcasters for the Braves
right.
All passing away, and the three broadcasters, Harry Callis, Andy Wesser, and Richie Ashburn, all passed away as well. So there are two teams that their key broadcasters and key national broadcasters are all dead.
Right.
It's such a shame up there.
You know, Tommy, there's been a lot of talk, especially, you know, if you watch the out-of-town games, about the Reds and the Indians going to Arizona, you know, for spring training. And people think that's a big mistake because people are not going to travel to Arizona like they would hop at a 75.
No. Great point, Roger. Great point.
You know,
and
I don't understand why they would make that move instead
of
calling and throwing.
Cincinnati was in Sarasota, Roger. I mean, we went through the whole thing. They wanted $100 million to update Ed Smith Stadium, and you know, and there's just no way a little town like Sarasota, Florida, could put together $80, $90, $100 million. To build a stadium for 15 games in spring training. I mean,
right.
It doesn't make any sense. And so they decided to go to Goodyear, where they split with Cleveland. And as just what you said, we said the same thing in Sarasota. Who the heck is going to go to Goodyear, Arizona, where there's nothing? I mean, there's nothing there.
Right.
Speaking
of Sarasota, Don, interesting and very sad a situation with that plane landing on the beach and killing some people.
Oh, how about that?
Oh,
well,
awful.
I'll tell you, these homemade planes. I mean, one guy landed, twice now on the road?
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks, he landed on a major highway.
I know. Those Singer prop planes, I mean, I don't trust them as far as you can throw them up there and that. But you guys, getting back to the Reds, they had a great facility in Plant City right off I-4, I mean, that was, I know Plant City has nothing to do, but that was a great stadium at the time back then. Then they moved out of Al Lopez Stadium in Tampa, and that was supposed to be built for the arena and baseball stadium until the Glazers got a hold of that, and they monopolized that to TS, Tampa Sports Authority. They said, well, we're going to go to Baltimore. And then I called a sports authority up one day and said, what do you do about baseball when we get it? I mean, that's a great spot for baseball in hockey arena. Oh, no, we got to cater to football. And I just hung up the phone. And said, you know, you think about it, baseball is in Tampa Bay for 6 months. What's the NFL have in Tampa Bay?
Right.
8 games, 1 game a month, and the stadium sits
there.
Well,
that's right.
Bacon.
And you look over, you look at Jupiter, where Rita's son lives. They got Roger Dean Stadium.
Sure.
And that's the home spring training base for the Cardinals and the Marlins.
Right, and they got the Jupiter Hammerheads and the Florida State League up there, and that's.
Well, look what Fort Myers did for the Red Sox. I mean, they spent $80 or $90 million
sure.
dollars to build that replica of Fenway Park.
Right,
And that's the best way to do it. You have them down there, then you're guaranteed of a Florida State League. Being the Fort Myers Miracle, look at the Rays in Port Charlotte. They had the Port Charlotte Stone Crabs and they used the facility, and then the Rays are down there. But guys, I think the best minor league is the Florida State League. Look at where those guys play at: spring training home of their parent ball clubs, modern facilities like three Clearwater Thrashers at Bright House Network Field, the Tampa Yankees at Steinbrenner Field, the Blue Jays at. I want to say Old Grant Field, but the name for their stadium, look at the Tigers right at the Joker Marshawn Stadium in Lakeland.
Right.
And those guys, I mean, they got the best facilities. I mean, I was out to the Clearwater Threshers game a couple weeks ago, Don, and guess who I saw catching? Carlos Luis.
Well, you said that. You know, Tommy, I wanted to ask you because J.P. Crawford, you know, they moved him up from Lakewood, and he's doing well at Clearwater. Is he getting a lot of notoriety in the Tampa papers?
Basically, I look for baseball every day, article about the Rays, nothing at all about the Florida State League except Roger for the standings. And the AFL, basically, the standings, too, that's about who they're playing away. But I think everybody who covers baseball should go back to the roots, go be a fan at one of these ballparks in minor league. Then you enjoy what you're doing. 1,000,000% better. Guys, I went back there and I...
Not only that, Tommy, but the price is right.
Oh, price is
that's
fantastic.
That's right. You're right.
The
reason I asked that about Crawford, I noticed on Major League Baseball Network, they had him as probably the third ranked player in single A to make it to the major leagues. In other words, within like 2 years, they expect him to be a regular in the major leagues. They had 5 different players. He was like number 3 of the 5.
Well, I don't know whether you fellas talked about it last week or not, but it's been pretty well publicized, but you may not have seen it. Have you seen the last day that Jeter's going to play at Yankee Stadium? Have you seen the prices for the tickets?
No.
Okay, the tickets in the circle between first and third will be $9,999 a seat. The $14 tickets out in the bleachers will be $100. $100. In the mezzanine. I mean, it's the most unbelievable thing. I mean, you can't believe it. You read it and you can't believe it. I mean, who in the hell would pay this kind of money? Because if God was coming down to play for the New York Yankees,
that's right.
You know, I'd have to take up a collection because there's no way I'd go see it.
Same here.
I mean, it's unbelievable what they're doing.
$9,000.
The 401k would be gone.
What was a 401k for just see 3 hours of entertainment? But Yankee fans to see his last game.
Can you imagine paying $9,000 to see a game?
That's ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
401k, you sell the car, you mortgage a house to watch Derek Jeter play his last game. That's why you have the whole month of September to take that in. You say, okay, I'll see him the day before he plays his last game at a regular ballpark prices. That's what I will do.
Oh, I'll tell you.
You know, I just talking about Clearwater. You know, the Jesse Biddle was at Reading and having all kinds of issues emotionally. And so they shut him down and sent him home for a little bit, and he's back with Clearwater, and he's pitched five innings and I think he has allowed one hit or something like that. So sometimes, and you know, it's interesting, the guy that they alluded to that did that was Roy Halladay when he was younger. And I didn't know that.
I didn't know it either.
Do you remember that, Don? I don't.
I don't. No, I do not. I do not.
Yeah, they shut him down.
That's the first I ever heard of that.
Yeah. And they used him as an example, but that's what they did with him when he was a young pitcher. And, you know, he had to get away, and, of course, came back, and he could have maybe a Hall of Famer. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, let's hope so. But the Phillies pitching staff, the problems in Philadelphia right now. What do you do? If you're a Phillies fan, you have to wait till next year when they come down to Clearwater again to see what team you have down there. But is Ruben Amaro's job, guys, in jeopardy, you think?
I do.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't know how he or anybody else that comes in behind him. I don't know how they're going to get rid of these guys. I mean, you know, what are you going to do with Lee? I mean, there's a guy's got a bad arm.
Right.
He's got a big contract still 2 years ago. Howard's got, 2 years on his contract,
right,
Roger?
Right,
got two more, right.
And that's another big load of money. I mean, how are you going to get rid of these guys?
Well, that's the issue. But I think the other issue is that the scouts have done an awful job.
Right,
and I
exactly.
think that that's what they've got to do is go back to the basics. I mean, you know, you look at this Houston Astros team, and even Jamie Moyer said last night, they have a plan. And, you know, they didn't do well for a couple of years, but now they've got this young team. Of course, a couple of them are were Phillies' prospects, you know, Jonathan Singleton. They were
right.
on that Hunter Pence deal. But that's what you got to do.
Talking about Hunter Pence, boy, he's playing great for San Francisco.
This Astros fans.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the signs out there for Hunter?
Yeah, I did. They're all over him.
I'll tell you what, Tommy, one guy you got to be happy about, I know you're a fan of his, Grady Sizemore. Boy, he looks like he's been able to stay healthy, and he's doing a great job for the Phillies.
Well, guys, I just fright this gum in my ear, tick-tock, tick-tock, so I guess that have to do it for tonight. Don, have a great birthday party for your lovely daughter. I hope the weather should be spectacular. I wish I was up there for it, and thank you for coming on, as always, sir. Give your lovely wife a big hug and kiss from me. Roger, thank you for coming on, as always. Give Rita a big hug and kiss from me, Roger. God bless everybody.
And Frank, thank you very much, as always, for conducting the orchestra here. And it's always Brady Quinn is scheduled for next week, so we'll have a chance to talk to him and get some information.
Yes.
The real Brady Quinn.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to that.
Well, listen, have a great week. Great job, Frank, as always. God bless. Take care, Tommy. Happy for you.
Take care, fellas.
Your wife.
Well, Frank, where do we start? I'd like to thank Bill Matthews from Eckerd College and the official race score. I'd like to thank, of course, Lawrence Samos, head coach of the Tampa Bay Storm. I'd like to thank the commissioner of the AFL, a good friend of ours and a good friend of mine on the program, Jerry Coons. I'd like to thank always our sponsor, Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. When you want to purchase a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. I'd like to thank the Abbey Course. Give Tom a call, 352-5. Give him a call up there. Or give Tampa Bay Golf Course a call. Tim Baker, call 352-588-5454. The number for Tom is 352-588-2016, and it's been a great show. Frank, what can I say? Great job. Give the kids a hug for me, and congratulations on Brady. I'm giving him a sitting ovation, and I'll talk to you next week. And thank you for doing everything, and give me a call during the week. We're going to get Lawrence out, Lawrence and Ben out there.
Sounds good. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. And grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just say thank you. It means the world of good to all of us. These programs are also dedicated to those who've lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Henley, Lieutenant Mike Zerbin, New Castle County Police. Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD. Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office. Chief Al Hogel, Longbow Key Police Department. Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department. Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol. Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol. Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department. Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department. MIT Officer Sean Collier. Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. Deputy Jonathan Scott Hine, Orange County Sheriff's Office. Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department. Florida Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the sun shine softly on your face and the rains fall softly on the field. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shema hezahilma sona shen vorat fet akuig again maelma
Anyway, Bob, we miss you. We love you.